It's all good. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I like this church. Thank God for your pastor and his stand for these many years and training a lot of missionaries and putting folks out. And I like this pulpit. I want, if it's not here tomorrow, I'd be in my trunk tonight. So God bless you. My name is Jimmy. Take all you give me. God bless you. Are we on? Are we on? And good to see my buddy Trevor. I told him we're getting the number 2 haircut tomorrow. And I didn't ask him nothing. I told him what he was going to do, bless God. But I love him. I thank God for him when he's sleeping. Amen. But good to see you. Name of the game is changing lives. And so I just told Brother Trevor I'm glad to get my nephew back from Afghanistan. Just got back from 2 tours. He's got issues. He's been wounded twice badly. But he's saved. Went to Bible college. And I told him, okay, boys, time to get to work now. Kind of quit playing army and to get on back on the real spiritual defense side. He served his country, saved a lot of lives over there. You pray for him. His name is John. And I'll be with him probably all of next week. I got right down the motel today. Got in. Y'all put me in a nice little Motel 6. They left a light on for me. No, just kidding. And I'm just going to read off to you what I've done the last 30 days. I didn't even think about it. But my ministry is taking those that messed up their lives and try to fix them for Christ.
Amen.
I was telling Pastor tonight, you know, in the book of 2 Timothy 4, Paul lists a group of names there. He lists a guy named Luke. Luke is with me. You know, some people in the ministry will come and stick with you and never leave. Thank God for those folks here tonight. You come and got in and you never left. And you'll meet them in your Christian life. And Luke was a doctor. And Paul was a smart man. He had a doctor and a lawyer to travel with him. Amen. You'll catch that by slow freight. Amen. You're going to get sick and you're going to get in trouble living for God. Amen. You need some help. Yeah, help me now. But then he talks about a guy named John Mark. Now, John Mark was gone for 20 years. And who helped him to come back was the Apostle Peter. Peter calls him my beloved Marcus. And who knew how to help someone mess their life up? A man who fell himself, who denied Christ. And so then you got a guy named Demas. Now, his name means popular. That's what his name means. He wanted to be popular. The word Paul means small one. I was in Greece a couple of years ago. Somebody sent us to Israel, a bunch of folks, and I got in Greece, and I got talking to the Greek lady there. I said, how tall do the Greeks put the Apostle Paul? They put him at 4'11". Hello. So manhood is not measured by size. I just had to be 6'9". You know, they say the bigger you are, the harder you fall. I say the smaller you are, the farther you fly. Watch out. Don't mess with me, all right? Mr. Miyagi, okay? And I've lost a little weight. I lost about 3 ounces since you seen me last. God bless you. I heard about a guy the other day. He was so fat when he went to school, he sat next to everybody. Amen. God bless you. But you kind of get those things. But I want to be one of those Christians, by the grace of God, just keep on. I want to be a Timex Christian. I want to take a licking and keep on ticking.
Amen.
And I got saved under a guy named Dr. Peter S. Ruckman at the Brent Baptist Church in 1971. I got saved there. Then about a year later, I heard a guy preach named Lester Roloff. And I was at a church that night, and I went to hear him preach with a bunch of folks from our church, and I said, I'll want some of that. I'll want some of that.
Amen.
I came down the altar that night and gave God my life.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. Before I got saved, I was a thug, a thief, a liar, a gangster, everything. You name it, I'm going to leave it right there. I did a lot more stuff, but I don't want you to know about it. I'm ashamed of it. I wasn't a pervert. I was just wicked. All right? And I hurt people. I was a taker. But now, by the grace of God, I'm a giver.
Amen.
And by the way, God led me back up to that city again. I'm up there. Someone said, how bad was your neighborhood? Well, get this. For our neighborhood was so rough, for driver's ed, we used stolen cars. That's how bad it was. Amen. And so after my conversion to Christ, I went back and saw the lawyers, the judges, the teachers. And God put it on my heart to go talk to them. And I'm still talking to them. Every judge and every cop I go see, the sheriff, they want me to move to their city and do a work there. I said, no, I'm going to stay in Dearborn. I was telling Pastor Stephen, I was in Upper Peninsula about 6 hours north of Detroit about a month ago. And at about 7 o'clock in the morning, went down to get some coffee. That's black carrot juice for you health nuts. And so I went and got some coffee, but I saw two Mediterranean guys on the elevator. I was going to say, are you guys Al-Qaeda or what? And he said, don't lose your sense of humor, you'll go nuts. And so anyways, I got talking to them, but they're from the big mosque in Dearborn, Michigan. I guess you're up there buying land or something, want to develop something up there. And he got talking to me about what kind of ministry I do. I said, I help guys get off drugs and alcohol, boys, girls, men, and women. He said, we have an epidemic among the Muslim guys with Oxycontin and meth. Can you come and speak to them? I said, yeah. I'm going to bring my King James with me. That's what I told him. He said, you bring anything you want to bring. I said, all right, be careful what you wish for. Because, you know, I'm going to go over there and build a bridge because I want to come back. Don't blow it up the first time. Amen. And so I got this call today from Brother Dennis Glennon. He pastors in Fort McMurray, Alberta, Canada. It's the third largest oil deposit in the world. And we had a chance to bring that pipeline down the United States, and our beloved president shipped it over to China. All the diesel and all that stuff coming out of there. Anyway, I won't get political tonight. You know what politics means, don't you? Poly means many, and ticks means bloodsuckers. Okay, God bless you. Got to put a little punch in there. But Dennis and I used to, Dennis one night went to Temple Baptist Church in Detroit. Dr. Beecham Vick was the pastor. And Dennis got right on one side, and my brother, Dennis was a stiletto, and my brother was a Bagley boy. These are pre-Latin King gangs back in the 50s and 60s. And he looked up, and there's a guy he used to fight with. Now they're both preachers. Amen. Dennis has been a missionary almost 40 years up there. Amen. He's got colon cancer, so I talked to him today. And so I'm going to go up there and stay a month with him, probably in March. And he said, I'd like to start a home up here. And so if you come up and preach for me while I'm in the hospital, that's what it's all about. I got a hold of a guy the other day, and he's come up to me and said, "Hey, I want to get my life straightened out, and I want to talk to him." Then there's a guy and two girls at the Comfort Inn, and I'm talking to him, and all of a sudden here come these three people. Say, "Hey, would you feed us lunch or something?" And I said, "Do I look like a restaurant?" He said, "No, you just look like a guy I want to help somebody." I said, "Well, sit down. Let me tell you about Christ." And I come to find out the boy in that motel was with these two hookers. His father was my mailman. So I called him up on the phone and said, I got your son sitting here in the Comfort Inn. He said, let me talk to him. He stole my truck last night. So I put him on the phone and I said, well, your son's right here. Won't you come and get him? He'd come and thank me for helping him. That boy came to church last Sunday. And the two girls, I tried to get them, I had them a bed in Chicago at a women's home, and both of them turned me down. You know what they said to me? We're not ready yet. We're not ready yet. I said, I got news for you, girls. I said, it's going to be a night one night when you're going to say, I wish to God I listened to that preacher. And they're out. And by the way, most of the young folks that I deal with, okay, these are independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Christians that make stupid mistakes. Over there, I'll give you the gist of the problems here. Because they got a void on the inside, and they're trying to fill that void on the inside, and they can never fill that void with the junk and the scum of the world.
Amen.
And Hollywood is spinning this, and spinning this, and spinning this, and spinning this, and spinning this. Hey, I told some gay guys the other day, you got a right to be gay, bless God, and I got a right to stay straight.
Amen.
Don't put me down because I'm straight. We were here before you guys. I preach to them too. I was on the street the other night. Here comes some transvestites up to talk to me. I said, help us. Lord, help me. And I told my wife, one of them had on some good perfume. I was going to get some off them. That's funny. But I got talking to them that night. And they said, Reverend, you ain't beating us up. You ain't making fun of us. I said, no, I care for you. I said, let me ask you a question. How did you get here? Now, wait a minute now. This is in the east side of Detroit with no streetlights on. Me and two preachers. And we're down on them streets with nobody watching our back except the Holy Ghost. And he got everything on 360. And I said, preacher, my own dad and brothers molested us when we were little boys. And I've been on these streets since I was 12 years old. And one of them started crying because he looked over on the trailer there. I'm a preacher on this tonight. And he said, explain that verse to me. I can be saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we got people yelling, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, but they never tell us how to stay out of hell. Hello?
Amen.
So you'll believe what I'm preaching when one of your boys, when it's one of your little nephews. Sit still, breathe normally. I got them in my family, but I deal with them. I love them. I try to help them. And I said, you don't go to hell for being a sodomite. I said, sodomite. That's what the Bible calls them. He said, well, why do we go to hell? I said, you go to hell for rejecting Christ. But I got news for you. You trust Christ, you won't be a sodomite. Amen belongs that. And they start crying and jumping up and down. I gave them some gospel tracts. And they went down the street and said, remember that now? Remember that? Remember, we can get saved. I said, yeah. I said, God will save you if you trust Him.
Amen.
That's somebody's little boy. That's somebody's little girl. Little girl, I wasn't going to tell you this. I went to a preacher friend of mine's house to take me a shower, and I had to leave about 5 and 6 in the morning. I jumped in the shower. You know the little suction maps? This sucker, it didn't stick. It went up. I got in there, boom, it went up. Well, guess what I did? I went backwards. 400 pounds in midair, boom. Here come the, are you all right in there? Hold on, get me a tow truck, man. Raise me up off the floor. I cracked about 6 ribs. Took me to the hospital and whatever got me fixed up. I was checking out the door, and I was witnessing to the nurse. She's wheeling me out there, and she said, what's this track you gave me? I said, I'll tell you how to be saved. And she says, well, I'm living with such and such, another woman. So I said, I don't want to hit, do you? I said, I didn't die for you. You don't have to confess your sins to me. And she says, you know what, preacher, you're the first preacher that ever told me that. And she says, I was thinking about getting my life straightened out. I gave her that track. I said, there's a church not too far from here. Gave the name of that address of that church. Well, I'm trying to tell you tonight, there's some hurting people out there. And by the way, they're in all camps. They're in all camps. I got a call for about a month ago. And first she texted me. She says, is this Brother Patterson? Is this your phone? I text back, yes, who's this? And she said, mention her name, Mary. Won't give your last name. And she used to be a missionary in New Guinea for 10 years. And she got mad and got bitter at something, left her husband, and walked out in that world. Deep. And she said, Brother Jack, would you throw me a rope? Would you help me get out of Egypt? Would you help me get out of Egypt? That's all she needed to say. I called her up, my wife's sitting right there. By the way, I don't counsel females without my wife sitting there.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you men better get that in your head.
Amen.
Jesus spent time with the woman at the well at the daytime. He spent nighttime with Nicodemus, a man. Hello belongs that. And we got talking there, and she said, Brother Jack, I did this and this. I said, what's the bottom problem? She said, I'm nothing but a drunk. I have to drink a pint of VO of vodka every morning. And I said, where did you get all this stuff at? She started telling me her problems. I said, all right, you guys, to cut it off, I said, let's do this. Let me call some people and hook you up. And I'm going to help you get out of your little situation. That was a missionary. I went to school with him many years ago. What are you going to do? I got her going to a woman's home for 6 months. Ain't going to cost her a dime. And she's going there and get retrained. And she said, when I get out of here, Brother Jack, I don't want to just sit. I want to do something. She already knows what to do. She already knows the field. She's been 10 years on the field. But she let some things get inside her heart. See, those 10 lepers got healed. Remember all in Luke chapter 17? And all 10 of them got healed. But 9 of them were a Jew. One was a Samaritan, a half-breed. They were the lowlife. They were the white trash of that era. And those 9 that got healed and we just went on and did their thing. But not that Samaritan.
Amen.
That Samaritan came back.
Amen.
To say thank you.
Amen.
And what happened to him, Jesus said, hey, I'm going to give you something that those other 9 didn't get. I'm going to put something inside you. I'm going to make you whole. And some people are saved and are walking down the road and they've still got those insecurities inside their life that are running and controlling their lives. Tells them what to think, tells them what to drive, tells them what to wear. Hello? Watch Hollywood for 5 seconds. Look at that Miley Cyrus. She looked like a lizard with a monkey head. She got to go by the gas station and get air in her head. Ding, 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 ding. There's a bunch of airheads out there. But our kids are watching that junk.
Yep, right.
Want to act like them. Want to be like them.
Yep.
Hey, man, that's mom and dad's fault.
Amen.
Let me say, and that's grandma and grandpa's fault.
Amen.
For putting up with it.
Amen.
Am I doing all right?
Amen.
Still want to support me? I went to a house the other day, and I always gave a little nickname to kids when I see them. I call this kid Spanky. I said, well, yeah, Spanky. So he's in his room. He's 10 years old now. I said, well, tell him I want to come out and see him. The dad said, he won't come out. He locks the door. Really? Wow. He even has a stop sign on the door. You're telling your dad, mom, you ain't coming in. I said, tell him I want to see him. I said, hey, Spanky, it's Brother Jake. I don't care. I'm not coming out. I said, told the dad, could you got something you got to do? Let me go and talk to him. Well, Brother Jack, the door's locked. I'm from Detroit. I'll get in there. This number size 14 coming. Oh, boom, man, the hinges fell off the door. I don't know what happened. And there was old Spanky in the corner. You can't come in my room. I'm alive. I'm here. He was on the computer trying to get stuff up. I told him, take that computer out and shoot that sucker. My wife said, hey, listen to your husband. He went, boom, boom, boom. He started crying. He said, you messed me up, Brother Jack. I said, you're going to get more than that. You don't shut up. I went in there and sat down and ate with him. He calmed down. He said, yeah, I couldn't have had a bad or two, didn't I? No, really, really. Gee, Wally. When I left, he gave me a big hug. He said, you're still my hero. You're still cool, but you shouldn't have shot my computer. I said, don't lock your door and put stop on the side. I told the dad to take the door off. I won't do it for a girl, but I do it for a boy. Take the door off the hinges about a month and make him earn privileges to get the door back on. If you have to, cut it in half, let it swing on it. Look like Mr. Ed. You know. I'll be doing all right. I get another call from a missionary. Oh, I don't know, 1st of December. And she said, this Brother Patterson? Said, yeah. I said, this is so-and-so. I'm up here working with the Ojibwe Indians. I said, yeah, Mike Ramsey's up there. Mike is one of my ranch guys back about 92. He's married, got about 9 kids, working with the Ojibwe Indians up in the UP with 9 kids. He said, he told me to call you. I said, what's your problem? Her husband was a construction missionary. I hook up a lot of them now. And she said, well, I got a lady here that needs help. I said, when can you get down here in Detroit? 4 or 5 hours away. She said, I got to be in New York tomorrow at 4 o'clock to go to work. I'm a nurse. I said, you better hightail it on down there. I met him at the church office next door to the RV in Dearborn. We walk in and sit down. She brings this 36-year-old young lady in there. And I look at her and so forth, and I said, what's your problem? How can I help you? Well, I got issues, and my life's all messed up. And I said, oh, you're a prostitute. And she said, yes, I am. I said, who got you on dope? I said, who's working you on the streets? My husband. And I looked there at that little 36-year-old girl, and I saw 3 of my sisters sitting there. See, don't ever think nobody's without a broken heart. A broken heart to live for others, a broken heart that others might see, a broken heart to live and die for, a broken heart, Lord, give to me. Hey, Bud Jack, where'd you get your education from? Projects. Hurt Lives, Drunkard's Home. I'd see my dad bust my mom in the face for $5 for a bottle of Jack Daniels. There's ten of us kids. I looked at her, I said, tell you what I do. I said, I know you're a druggie and so forth. I want to help you. He said, I ain't got no money. I said, did I ask you for any money? I said, no. I said, the druggies are broke anyways. I said, I got a ladies' home I'm going to send you. I'm going to raise money to get you in there. I said, I want to put you in there tonight. I made a phone call right there where she's in front of me and take care of it right there. The guy said, Brother Jack, if you can get her over here by midnight, we'll take her tonight. That lady went to the gas station. I gave him some money. They filled up the car. That was about 3 in the afternoon. They were there by 9 o'clock. Dropped her off. That's been 2 months ago. She got a free phone call. She called my cell phone. And everybody who calls me, I save their phone number. And I put their name in my phone. Because when I call them, I know who it is. I've had over 900 phone numbers in my phone tonight. 600 of them are broken people. 600 of them. I said, how's it going? Her name is Jamie. She said, well, Jack, it's the first time I've been clean and sober in 7 years. I'm getting my teeth fixed. I'm letting my hair grow out. I'm losing weight. Come to find out, she knew banking. She knew graphics. She knew how to put menus together. But she'd been a dope head on the streets. Now she's being productive at that home. That's what it's all about. I'm a preach to you because I'm getting hungry. Well, we're at Acts chapter 16. You know what's going on. Acts verse 25. And give me about 10 more minutes. We'll shut her down. Verse 25, Acts 16, 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. That's why I like to hear you sing loud. Amen. Go to a football game, you're loud. You go to a baseball game, you go, amen, right there. And, hey, I like football, and until they outlaw football, I'm going to watch it, amen. And win some money off them games. No, just kidding. And but I know the roar, I went to out in Iowa, and I told a bunch of deadbeat Iowas, hey, I know how you Iowa Buckeyes sit at a hockey game and a basketball game. And church and all shit like a bunch of dead Indians. Bum, 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 bum. Hey, come on. He said, Brother Jack, it's your personality. No, let me tell you something. Hey, you realize what Christ did for you on the cross? Amen. He died for you. He saved you. Amen. And he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you can never burn.
Amen.
Woo! Say amen right there.
Amen.
Hey, I'm so saved, I couldn't go to hell if I tried to go.
Amen.
But Paul and Silas are in jail, and they're singing loud. And the prisoners heard them. They didn't have a solid witness. Do they know you're saved where you work at?
Amen.
Does your neighbor know you're saved and go to this church? You ought to get loud about some things.
Amen.
Get loud. Amen. Not goofy, loud. And verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. All that came by the prayer of the preachers. Things got open. Things got loose. You know what happens with a church like this? Things will get open. Things will get loose through prayer. Through prayer. Hey, you left your room this morning. Did you think to pray? How many of y'all got a jerk at work? Let me see your hand. Or a female jerkette. God will take care of them. God will transfer them out of there or you out of there. I wish I had time to tell you the time we worked in tank factories. And I come by the place one time at First Baptist Church of Hammond. A guy used to cuss me out. And one of the guys led into Christ. I come back, he's taking an offering at the First Baptist Church. I said, what are you doing here? He said, he was a Spanish guy. He said, Brother Jack, I listened. I got saved. You never know when they're listening to you. Oh, I'm going somewhere. Look at this. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, and seeing the prisoner's doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling down, fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said one of the most controversial statements in the Bible. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Answer, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
And that's where most of us Baptists stop at. But I'm going to zoom in on those next three words. And thy house. And thy house. The Bible said Moses was faithful in all his house. David said in 2 Samuel 23, not so with my house. There were some things malfunctioning at the junction. He had to pay a price for 5 minutes of pleasure. That's another sermon. But you know what I'm out to do at 62? I know I don't look it, thank you. I want to work on my house. Your house can be your where you work at. Your house can be your employment. Your house, your structure, your building, your life. The Bible calls the universe a house. The tabernacle is a picture of a house. I had an aunt north, aunt real, very, 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 very wicked. And my brother John, he used to box with the at the Crocs Gym where Tommy Hearns used to box at back in the day in the city. And John got saved, and through his testimony and my testimony, 87 people trusted Christ. Amen. Aunts, uncles, my cousin, we were after him. He played for the Pistons, George Patterson. I'm after his kids now in Toledo, Ohio. And I'm just going after on and on trying to get them saved. I go out of my way. To help somebody, it's going to cost you two things. It's going to cost you time, and it's going to cost you money. Let me hasten. My aunt was very vile. My aunt was very filthy mouth. But my brother told her the truth. You need to get saved. You're going to hell if you don't get saved. And he had a clean life. She knew that he used to pack a 45. Now he packs a 66. A King James.
Amen.
And long story short, one day, years pass. Then my mom and dad used to stick me there with her in the summertime. I was 13, 14 years old, trying to learn some character. I said, character, they throw snakes on me, chop heads off skunks, and chase me around the farm. They're crazy. They're worse than Duck Dynasty. Thank God they're back on TV. Amen. And you know, I'll leave Adam alone. And isn't it funny, we're getting into a country where they're trying to box you in what you can say and what you can think.
Yeah.
Now, don't buy it for a second.
Amen.
You know, CBS, cesspool below sea level. Hello. But they say what they want to say.
Amen. Right.
Isn't it funny, man? Four of our guys were murdered in Benghazi, and every one of them suckers walked away. Our intelligence, our president, Secretary of State, you heard what I said. But that's our election coming up. Let me hasten. Our country's changing. They're looking for answers. What we need is Christians come out of the closet.
Amen. Amen.
Start witnessing. Start. I don't care if they don't come to church, but get them the gospel.
Yeah.
Try to get them to come to church, but witness to them. I was in a gas station and this dear I saw this black guy up there and said, "Hey, home, what's up, homeboy?" And he looked at me and said, "You a crazy white guy." I threw some gang signs. You know, the first time I saw that, I thought the guy was Epileptic Caesars. And he comes up to my van. He said, "Where's your church at, man? I'm going to come hear you preach." Long story short, he was saved already. He did some time. He got out of jail. He said, "I'm going to come hang out with you." This guy had rededicated his life. He started a street ministry, passing out tracts on the street. He comes to church Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And when I'm in town, he and I hit the streets together, passing out tracts to gang members. I said, "Take me where the heat's at." He said, "You sure, man?" I said, "I'm sure. Come on, we'll have a good time." Hello? Go get him. Go get him. And long story short, I'm passing through Pennsylvania now. I'm growing up and saved and living for God. And I come to preach a revival meeting in Pennsylvania. And all of a sudden, here come about 25 of my nieces and nephews and cousins and aunts and uncles show up to hear me preach. I preached that morning. I threw a fit that morning. About six or seven of them came down and got saved. They wanted to take me out to eat. The truck stopped, went over there. And I said, "Whatever happened to Aunt Dot?" That was their mama. They said, "Brother Jack, Uncle Jack, or Cousin Jack, she got saved." I said, "No, not Aunt Dot, that wicked Jezebel." I said, "No, man, she got saved. She got in. She got in." You know, they know the jargon. I said, "Tell me about it." She said, "Well, about 10 years ago, Aunt Dot was dying. And the doctor came in and said, 'Aunt Dorothy, you're going to die. And you got 2 weeks to live.'" And her son said, I was sitting right next to her. She said, "Well, if I'm going to die, I know how to get saved. He said, my nephew told me about the Romans Road 20 years ago. That's what she used. First time they had a guy come in there and try to witness to her, he had fludges on and big pants, and he didn't know what he was talking about. She ran him out of there. Said, you don't know what you're talking about. Get out of here. And then she got an old Nazarene, can still believe the Bible, come in there and led my Aunt Dorothy to Jesus Christ. Amen. 10 minutes after she got saved, she laying in bed, and her son said she's weeping like a baby. She said, I wish I'd have done this 20 or 30 years ago. And she started talking new birth talk now.
Amen.
All of a sudden, here comes her kids walking in. And they're dropping all the cuss words out. They're filthy people. And she looked at them and she said, hey, I don't talk that way no more.
Amen.
I'm different.
Amen.
Hey, it's different now since Jesus saved my soul. Oh, it's different now since by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Oh, it's different. Oh, so different now. Hey, it ought to be different with you. There ought to be some noise at your house for God. There ought to be some noise at your church. The Bible said when he got in the house in Luke, Mark chapter 2, it was noise that he got in the house. There ought to be some noise in your house. There ought to be some noise. God will get you to get noisy about him.
Amen.
They'll say, how are you guys doing? That's how they talk in the funeral home. Hey, I see some people so dead, the only difference between them and the morgue is they're sitting up.
Amen.
I don't obey your people. I met vice presidents. I've talked to judges. I got scruples. But it comes to that book. Something happens to me.
Amen.
I want to witness. I want to bear the light. I want to pray. I want to shout. I want to give.
Amen.
I'm closing. Wheels are down. I'm circling the field. I was traveling, I don't know, years ago in the revival meeting. I was a field rep for a college, plus being an evangelist. This had to be 30 years ago. And I come over to the church that day, and pastor wasn't there yet. I got there about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I saw a guy on the bulldozer. And I never ran a bulldozer. I went to Job Corps for a while, but I got kicked out because of dope. And so anyways, I got more dope in Job Corps than on the streets. And a ripe age of 15. And I look at the guy, and I'm in my suit, my preaching shoes on. Every preacher's got preaching shoes. And I'm over there looking at him, and I said, hey, how you doing? Hey, I couldn't understand him because he had tobacco in his mouth. He's from West Virginia. Hey, I'm over here in that bulldozer. I'll be down a little bit. Just stay there. I said, I'll stay there. And all of a sudden, I start running out of fuel. I said, I'm definitely going to stay here. So he gets out of the bulldozer and sits on the side of the tracks. And he and I start a dialogue. What are you here for? I'm preaching tonight. What are you preaching on? I'm on Jesus, the Bible. Well, I wish I had some more fuel. I'll finish this job for the church. So what do you need? I need someone to take me to go get fuel. I'm the only one there. So I trotted off through the mud. But my shoe took about that deep. My nice new suit, new shoes. And he said, preacher, what are you doing? I said, I guess I'm going to take you to get some fuel. So he sat on the track. I take him to get fuel. I load my car, put the 5 gallons in, five gallons in my car. He spilled half of them in there. I had a Buick LeSabre, tied it down, went and got fuel, got it back, got the bulldozer going. I said, shut it off, let me talk to you. He said, what do you want to talk about? I said, I'm going to tell you about Jesus Christ. Long story short, I led him to Christ. I took my time with him. And when I said I wanted to get saved, take your time with him. And I can lead people to Christ in 15 seconds, but take your time with him. I took my time with him. I said, hey, I'll be preaching tonight. Won't you come tonight? Just about 4 o'clock. I said, starts at 7 o'clock. I got back in the motel, cleaned up my pants, got some different clothes on, cleaned up my shoes. And about 6:45, preacher says, Brother Jack, you got to come out here. I said, the guy that worked on my bulldozer is sitting on the front row with a Jerry Falwell Bible about that big. He's sitting on the front row with his work boots on, Levi's on, with a white shirt. He said, I'll come to hear Brother Jack preach tonight. Teeth all yellow and nasty from tobacco juice. I said, yeah, that's my convert. That's the Lord's convert. And went out there and after service, went to his wife's restaurant to eat, and he just started crying. He said, I didn't know salvation was so easy. I didn't know it was so easy. I said, well, it's easy for him, us, but hard for him. He died and went to hell for you. And he wanted to learn. He wanted me to teach him the whole Bible. And that night, I said, no, you got to keep coming back to your pastor. Long story short, he never missed a Sunday.
Amen.
He never missed
Thank
a Wednesday.
You, Lord.
He came in his brogans and his Levi's, but had his nice white shirt on. That was probably sometime in February. I came back in September to preach another meeting. There he was now. Still bringing, he had a different Bible, and he's sitting on the front row. But this time now he has his whole family with him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Long story short, his son wanted to go to Bible college.
Amen.
So his son went to Bible college, and he helped him get in school. Preacher's daughter said, Daddy, I want to go to Bible school. They went to Bible college.
Amen.
They kind of got looking Google out at each other. They hooked up. Can I tell you who the pastor is now of that church? The pastor passed on. That old man passed on. His wife passed on. That man's son married that preacher's daughter. They got about 5 kids. And they're now their pastor in that church.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thy house. When the last time you did some work on your house? When the last time you made a phone call to somebody that you know? When the last time you maybe you mended a broken fence that's been broken through whatever means it's broken? That book says you want to get saved and then and thy house. Work on your house. You know what I'm doing at 62? The revival meetings, the conference, and helping people. That's all secondary to me. Man, if my nieces and nephew and my aunts and uncles go to hell, and I don't do nothing about it, shame on me. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. I think you got the gist of the message what I want to preach tonight. I don't know what they normally do here. Invitation, whatever, to sit in your seat. You want to kneel there, do something. Just let me ask you a question. I'll ask Brother Bill to come. Here's your preacher. Somewhere down you preach tonight. I see some things I got to get working on my house. God's been good to me. Wrote my name down in the Book of Life.
Amen.
But I see my house. I got to get busy working on my house.
Amen.
Here's your preacher down tonight. As you're just preaching real fast, God spoke to me about some areas of my life. Pray for me all over the room tonight. Let me see your hand. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Our Father, pray that you take these blessings home and add them to our lives and help us to do something with our Christianity. And don't just leave it with us. A Lamb's Book of Life, or going to heaven. God saved us. God redeemed us. Bless these folks here. Bless this church. Bless this, the light and the water that they put out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'll turn it back over to Bill in a second. I like your pastor. I don't sell tapes. I don't sell stuff. The gospel's free, but it's not cheap.
Amen.
But I do put out CDs, and they're free back there. You want to put a donation? That's fine. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I got them for you. If you want them, it's me and the guys singing a tribute to Lester Roloff. I got about 10 of those CDs in there. Now these ain't no honky tonk CDs. It's a good. I like good music. Amen. Yeah, before I got saved, I did shout on now, but now I got some other stuff, amen? But those are back there. You can have them. You don't have a dime. That's what we're asking, but if you want to help, that's fine. But they're free, and I got prayer cards back there. Take those prayer cards. I want you, each family, to take a prayer card. I want you to put it on your refrigerator. Pray for this big boy.
Amen.
I got a lot of things I want to do before the Lord comes back before I die.
Amen.
I want to die with my boots on. And I'm going to take care of my wife, make sure she's got a place to stay. I want to help every call that takes. If they call me, I help them. I want to ask them whose camp they're in and who you connected with. That isn't the issue with me. I want to help them. I want to take the baton that the old man gave me. And by the grace of God, I want to finish my race.
Amen.